Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cold Feet Podcast. Join our journey as we interview people in this cold plunge and we delve on the adventure of holistic health, athletic development, barefoot education, questioning the norm, and so much more. So dive in, grab a hot cocoa, and enjoy the episode.
Before we start our podcast episode, we would like to give a brief shout out to our podcast sponsors. Most shoes harm your mobility by over-restricting your foot's natural movement. With the Ursus from Barefoot Athletics, a shoe designed with minimal restrictions, your feet can move the way nature intended, so you can move with more confidence and strength in every step. Barefoot Shoes was founded by Chris Duffin, who attributes proper foot biomechanics as foundational to his success in squatting and deadlifting over 1,000 for reps. He created Barefoot Shoes to provide a minimal shoe designed for strength athletes. Go to barefoot.shoes/TBSR to check out the Ursus, and you can save 10% with the code TBSR10 to purchase the strongest minimalist shoe available. As a gym owner, I usually lift barefoot. When I can't lift barefoot, I love lifting in my barefoot shoes for both the health benefits of lifting barefoot and the increased ground feel I have in all my lifts. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, and get healthy, but the right ones can help. That's why over 350,000 fitness folk have chosen Legion. Well, that and their 100% natural products, their clinically effective ingredients and doses, and their no-hassle money-back guarantee. I've been following Michael Matthews, the CEO of Legion Athletics, journey since 2012, and I am super duper impressed with their supplements. They have a wide variety of everything from protein powders, pre-workouts, post-workouts, omega-3s, and bundles. And you can save a whooping 20% with the discount code HABER, H-A-B-E-R. So just log in to legionathletics.com, and the discount code is HABER for 20% off. Earthrunners are some of my favorite minimalist sandals. Earthrunners were created to rewild our lives in response to the typical modern domesticated lifestyle, which is causing numerous health, psychological, and social issues. Through rewilding and grounding, we aim to bring stronger, healthier, and more resilient individuals and communities back to our society. If you're not familiar with grounding is exposing your bare feet or body to the earth beneath you. And if you're unable to do that, you can ground with sandals like Earthrunners with their unique copper plug and copper laces. Grounding has a huge display of benefits such as reducing inflammation, improving sleep, and improving happiness. So you can check out Earthrunners at earthrunners.com, and you can use our discount code of TBSR10 to get 10% off. Hey everyone, welcome to the Cold Feet Podcast / IG Live. Because of circumstances, I'm here in northern Israel, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, known as the Kinneret. So we're like in the wilderness here. And I'm privileged to have the one and only Jeffrey Goff. Is that correct?
That's me.
Jeffrey Goff, founder of Natura Athletics, right? There's like a silent A going on there.
Yeah.
And
you'll get it eventually.
He's a cool guy. He's the found. He's the first or second person to ever make a minimalist cleats for youth athletes. Also a former Marine, and we're privileged to have him here. So Jeff, the stage is yours.
Thank you very much for having me. I've talked with you for a while about doing this, and it's been a long time coming. So thank you very much. And I just want to say hey to everybody. We have a Kickstarter launching on September 25th, and we're going to be selling minimalist cleats for children and also adults, and we're going to be selling minimalist basketball shoes for children as well, an all-day play shoe. And we're really excited because this has been kind of like a six-year journey, pretty much, of me creating these shoes. It started during my time in the Marine Corps, identifying the deficiencies of combat boots and how they were affecting the lives of people in the service. Almost all of my Marines, when I would go and do an exercise, I would see that they would be having problems with their knees, their ankles, their feet, their hips. If you go down a line of Marines while you're doing what's called a heightened weight, where they have all their shoes off and they're doing their heightened weight for their physical standards, you look at all the Marines and they all have like bunions and collapsed feet and all their knees are turned in. And then they wonder why they get out after 4 years because they have all these joint aches and pains, and it's because of their combat boots. And this is something that we're also doing to athletes, is that we're putting athletes that are doing high impact movements in deficient footwear, and we're not setting them up for success, and they're having early wear and tear in their joints, and they're getting kind of injured out of athleticism, which is kind of a tragedy that happens to a lot of youth sports athletes in America. We have a lot of great data on this, thanks to the injury statistics that are captured by the University of Colorado. So we get injury statistics from high school and from the NCAA. And there's so many young athletes, tragically, that are tearing ligaments and never getting back into athletics. And we want to change that with Nature Athletics so that children can have a long and healthy athletic career.
So first of all, I'm so happy you touched upon the Army, because yesterday I was trail running barefoot with my buddy Ron Cohen, who was an officer in my unit. We wrote that collaboration together. So we hit the trails. So I'm a hiker and he's a runner. So we just kind of, he runs, I hike, I run at his pace, he hikes at my pace. We just figure it out, take our shoes off. And we were speaking about how every single soldier has suffered from stress fractures or shin splints at some point in their career. And it's kind of taken for granted. And I think both me and you agree that that's not true. It doesn't have to be that way. And based on your research, that the reason it's that way is because the minimalist footwear hasn't been really reviewed in the Army since the 90s. And what you're doing is so important, because let's say that the military is a lost cause. Not that I think it is, but there's too much regulations. There's too much officers. These guys are 20 years old. They're 30 years old. They spent most of their life in damaging footwear already. But kids haven't damaged their feet yet. So if we can develop their speed, their agility, their power, their change of direction, their rate of force development, all the fancy athletic terms at the young age, before at the age of 30, they have a bunion and then it hurts them to, you know, change direction, that's the magic happens. So I don't think that barefoot is a secret superpower. I think it's one very important part of the equation. But specifically as a youth, when they're feet are still developing, especially in cleats, which are notoriously narrow, it is a superpower, because you're essentially preventing such long-term damage to their feet and their health and athletic performance.
I love that you're calling it a superpower, because that's exactly what I call it, is it's our evolutionary superpower that we have. We are unique amongst the great apes in our evolution, and that we have evolved to have three different arches in our foot, which none of the other great apes have. And those arches are controlled by the musculature of the foot. And if we disable that musculature, then what we're doing is we're disabling what makes us unique as human beings, because there was millions of years of evolution that went into making us the most efficient running animals in the animal kingdom, right? We have the most efficient gait in the animal kingdom. We have the most efficient heat regulation in the animal kingdom. If you put a person against a horse and put them on a hot course on the Western states, sometimes a human can win over 100 miles, right? Which is crazy. And so that evolutionary heritage that we have inherited from our ancestors, we are saying, oh, no, we can do it better. We can do it better with shoes that are supportive and all this stuff that deform our feet. And then what we do is we take away what makes us so special as a human being and makes us less efficient, more prone to injury, because we're making it so that we're atrophying the muscles of the feet, which is the base of all movement. And it's what makes us the best runners in all of the animal kingdom. And it's a superpower. It's the evolutionary superpower. That's actually what I put onto my Kickstarter landing page that's going to be launching. As it says, our evolutionary superpower, unlock your superpowers. And that's precisely why I want to get with children athletes. I have two kids of my own. I have a child. I have a little girl. She's turning 2 on Sunday. So hooray, my little princess is turning 2. I'm super excited about that. And I have a little boy, 5. And so I've been raising the minimalists since they were born, letting them have their natural foot development. So their foot looks like this instead of this, giving them the strong development that's necessary so that they can have a long-term health benefit of not having like knee vagus, weak, unstable ankles, getting ACL injuries, all this other crazy stuff that happens that's completely preventable. And I think that children are the key, because when I was pitching this to the Marine Corps, when I was talking to what's called Systems Command, United States Marine Corps Systems Command, that's the command that's in charge of procuring all the combat equipment for the Marine Corps. And I was talking to the Infantry Combat Equipment Program Manager, and I was talking to him about my boot program, and he was like, it's not the right time. I just closed two new boot contracts with these other boot manufacturers in order to make a winter boot and a jungle boot. And there's no, and he, this is what he said to me verbatim. He said, there's no market for this in the Marine Corps. You're going to have a whole entire culture change in America. And I said to myself, challenge accepted. That's what I said. I'm crazy enough to be like, challenge accepted. I'm going to do that. And I want to make it so that when my children start playing organized team sports, I'm not going to have to put them into shoes that are going to deform them and undo all that investment that my wife and I have put into giving them this gift of their evolutionary superpower. And that's what so many other parents in the minimalist space are confronting, is that they're like, okay, I've raised my kid in minimalist shoes since they were born. I've given them this great foot health. What am I going to do? Little Johnny wants to start playing soccer, and it's going to ruin everything that I've done. I'm here to say that's not going to be true for much longer. Okay, I'm going to make it so that every single parent has the choice to have a child that has a long and healthy athletic career, and they can do their favorite sports and not have it damage their health, right? And not set them up for failure. And this is especially important for little girls. You know, I'm a girl dad. This is especially important for little girls, because little girls are 2 to 8 times more likely to tear their ACLs playing soccer and basketball, right? And that's just insane. There's a lot of biomechanical variations that come into why that is true. But what's really important is that we help out these little girl athletes, and we set them up for success having a strong, stable foot that engages the external rotation and stability of the knee, so that they don't have that knee valgus, they don't have that quad dominance, and they don't have that anterior tibial transfiguration that creates those ACLs, ACL tears. And so that is completely preventable. And then when you talk about ankle injuries and young athletes that are doing anything that involves cutting and moving from side to side and sudden stops and changes of movement, the best ankle support is a strong, wide foot that has access to proprioception, knows what's happening underneath it, and can properly compensate for what's happening underneath it as well. Because when you cut off the brain from its sense of like where it is in space, and then also make it so that you're at a much more compromised base of support for that child, they're going to roll their ankle, and they're not going to know what happened until it's too late, right? That's what's happening, is that like the mechanism of injury already happens. The body cannot compensate against it because it doesn't know what's happening. It's been cut off. It's walking on pillows, essentially. And then they have all these compromised outcomes afterwards, because they're usually not rehabbing properly too, right? So the rehab is compromised. Right. So you're compromising the whole entire system from like front to back. And we can do so much better for young athletes and make it so that these non-contact injuries that are happening mostly because of fatigue can get eliminated from sports if we change the footwear and we change the coaching standards. Right. Doing footwear without changing any sort of movement habits and patterns. Footwear is not like a panacea. It's not going to like change it immediately. You also have to put in the hard work of actually doing like the correct movement pattern training as well. Sean, it sounds like you're on mute.
All right. Thank you. You brought so much truth and insight to the world of shoes. And I can say this as hands-on, you know, as a strength and conditioning coach, I'm working with the youth athletes there. And until now, this is literally what Wednesday night practice looks like. So we're warming up barefoot. We're mobilizing barefoot. We're doing the sprint technique barefoot. And then it's like, all right, girls or guys, put on cleats. And like, all right, let's go. And half of the, especially in the adult cleats, a lot of these girls or guys, it actually hurts to put on their cleats because they have bunions and the cleats are super narrow. But we look at the cleat at the moment as a sport essential equipment. So the same way in tackle football, you'll wear a football helmet. At the moment, we're required to wear cleats. With the youth, we're talking like 15 and under, it's even more exaggerated. So we warm up barefoot. They go play in their scrimmages and their football games in cleats. And they come back. I'm like, all right, everyone, shoes off. And they're like, why? And I'm like, try to squat with your sneakers or cleats on. And they see how unstable it is. And the second they take it off, I actually show them how by using the tripod foot, you know, like pushing the big toe, pinky toe heel onto the floor, they actually create much more stability. But why does that have to be the case? Why do I have to make this whole big deal of taking the shoes off, especially because we do require cleats to play sports at the moment? So it's a huge thing you're doing. I'm very appreciative of what you're doing for the world. I also appreciate how much effort you're putting in to educate the masses, because most products these days are not educating the masses, because that's the hardest thing to do. Right? If, I don't know, deodorant exists, so someone makes a more natural deodorant or makes a alternative brand of deodorant that smells really good, they're feeding into a market of deodorant already. You're not creating another cleat. You're not trying to compete with Nike and Adidas. You're trying to reform them. You're trying to create something completely new and saying this is bad and this is good. So it's like a super, super big mission you're taking. If I could ask a few questions regarding your cleat itself, I'll ask this for the community. I know that we discussed this in person on like a Zoom call we've had previously, but the cleats themselves, right, the spiky part can push into the shoe and be very uncomfortable. For those who don't understand, I'll just explain. So a barefoot shoe, usually the sole is very, very thin. So if your sole has sharp lugs or spikes in there or something that's going to give you traction, that can, as you were saying, that can cause pressure points and push into the foot. So how is your cleat different? How does it go about that to avoid that discomfort?
Yeah, if we made a cleat bottom, a cleat sole that was completely just rubber, and we had the studs in there, what would happen is that the studs would create pressure points because there's nothing around it creating stability, and it's not doesn't have like a pressure evening out gradient, and so you're going to create points of pressure underneath those studs if we went with like a fully flexible no plate system. What we have is we have points of hardness inside of our in between our points of flexion, so that it makes it so that there's a wider base for the distribution of pressure of those studs. So we have one plate that goes underneath the ball of the foot, essentially one plate that goes underneath the heel, the calcaneus, and then one plate that goes underneath the big toe, and one plate that goes underneath the rest of the toes. And then we have points of flexion in between, so that when you're using those cleats, it's not just one rigid cleat plate, which is what the solution is right now with most big factory producers of athletic cleats. It's just one plate, right? And it makes it so that it turns off the ability of the muscles to be used while doing probably one of the most explosive things that you can do, which is running and changing directions and all this stuff. And what we do is we bring back the motion. We bring back the ability of the foot to access the 33 points of movement. It's like if you drive a car and you had a independent suspension system. We have like this crazy independent suspension system of 33 points of movement. And we've taken it and we've turned it into a leaf spring system, which only has like one point of movement, right? And that's all we got. And we've completely compromise the movement system by like taking away the ability of the foot to sense and move. And that's what's so great about the Nature Motion cleat plate system we have on our iron line soccer cleats, is that it restores motion and gives strength. Because if you put somebody in like a cast and they have a cast on their arm and they can never move their arm again, then their bicep is going to completely atrophy and they're never going to get any movement strength from it. But if you allow the arm to move, then that's where you get all the benefit of like strength training and all that. Well, we're doing the same thing to our feet, where we're not allowing them to move and we're getting atrophies of the foot, and then we have all these collapses, and then it's like, oh, you need supportive footwear or else your feet are going to collapse. Well, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The instant that you introduce support into that system, then it becomes dependent and then it collapses, which is insane. Which is a deficiency of marketing across the whole entirety of the footwear space. We're lying to people, essentially. And so that's what's so great about Nature Athletics and the Iron Line cleats play system, is that we are going to revolutionize sports so that we make it so that every single athlete has a strong foundation so that they can access their full range of movement and then get the strength benefit from their sports and their practice, so that when they're doing something like a long 3-hour practice on a August afternoon for 2 days for high school football, that they are getting stronger and they're not succumbing to these fatigue-driven non-contact injuries that are taking down so many players. 70% of ACL injuries, 70% of ACL injuries are non-contact injuries that happen in sports. And that's insane. And the majority of it's nuts. And the majority of injuries are happening in the second half of a game or at the end of a long practice because they're fatigue driven, and we're not giving children and developing athletes the endurance that they need in their muscles so that they can get stronger and get better and not succumb to these fatigue related injuries. We're just saying, okay, the shoe's going to do it all for you. Well, guess what? The shoe cannot replace 2 million years of evolution. It just can't.
Game changer. First of all, Alberto, thanks for being excited about the cleats. We're pretty excited about them too. It's a game changing invention that's going to change the face of athleticism, in my opinion. And even more so is that both me and Jeff agree that it's not that the cleat itself is the game changer. You still have to put in the work. You still have to strength train, power train, mobility train, change direction. It's that you're preventing your body from hurting itself. Like you're no longer sacrificing your health, longevity, and foot health by damaging the shoe in a cleat.
If you don't put in the proper training as well and the proper movement training, then you're not going to get the benefit from it. That's important. That's an important stipulation to put out there. Is that like it's not going to just like automatically fix itself. You need to also put in work.
Which is why I feel that it's so important that it's happening in the youth athletic phase, because that's the stage when the kids are really building themselves, and specifically the ingenious behind speaking about the motion plate and allowing it to be as flexible as possible. That's genius, because like the whole concept of barefoot shoes was really popularized by runners, by barefoot runners. And that's because either having a very cushioned shoe or a very stiff shoe. A stiff shoe will limit range of motion of the foot, which, as you know, is a superhuman joint. And having a very fixed shoe reduces stability in the joint. So most cleats are actually not cushioned. They're not that thick either, because even Nike and Adidas, I'm calling them out here, realized, Alberto will give the details to pre-order towards the end. He'll tell us where the Kickstarter is, and he'll give us all the juicy details, and I'll pop it in my link in my bio. Thanks so much for your interest in the cleat. Anyways, the reason why cleats are zero drop, most of them, and they're relatively thin is because Nike and Adidas realize there needs to be some ground feel. If you have a thick cushion cleat, you wouldn't be able to produce force efficiently because the cushion of the shoe would absorb some of the force. So what was missing in the cleat, and I feel that you did, is that wide toe box. You gave the ability where we're no longer damaging our feet. So that's genius. Moving on to question. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the motion too, right?
Right.
Takes away all motion because they make it extremely stiff.
Correct.
It's like plank.
Extremely rigid, which prevents understanding that in running, so the big toe essentially extends to propel our body off, and the big toe is in charge of, you know, activation upstream, quad, hamstrings, tibia, everything. But in sports specifically, you're not just moving forward. You're moving linearly. You're moving backwards. You're moving diagonally. So all that beauty that the foot can do, all those what's known as footwork, which a lot of coaches just do these bullshit ladder drills and all sorts of stuff that a lot of times have zero context. But what the footwork, what the foot is actually responsible for, is essentially limited in cleats and stiff cleats. So super cool. I'm super stoked. Question number two, something we also I've discovered this problem when I'm in my mock cleats, you know, whether it's the Vivo Barefoot Soft Ground or it's the Soft Star Mega Grip or whatever the hell I'm, you know, alternating until your beauty comes through. Athletes who don't have a good toe splay, perhaps largely because they spent their whole first 20 years of their life in cleats, if they're in a wide toe box cleat, when they're changing direction, their feet can slide side to side, which can cause them to slip when doing agility or changing direction. So what would be your workaround on that if their toe splay is not where it needs to be yet? Would you suggest a transition to your cleat, or is there some sort of workaround?
I would recommend wearing toe spreaders.
In the cleat?
Yes, yeah.
Like wearing while toe playing like tackle football game, toe spreaders and cleat. Okay, interesting.
Yep. Yeah, toe spreaders would definitely be recommended. And I'm working on developing, this is probably going to be like a next year kind of thing. I'm working on developing a grip sock that's going to be a toe sock. So there's currently only a grip sock that's a toe sock that's available, like very limited in Japan. Right. There's a Japanese company that makes it, but I want to make it more available to people in the North American market. Cool. And so I want to make a grip sock that makes it so that it has a toe sock. And so it's going to be a game changer when we get that.
So there's a company out there called Barefoot Shoes, BEARFOOT, and they specialize in gym shoes. So they're co-founded by Chris Duffin, or at least they put his name on it from what I understood. So they have like the Barefoot Trainer, which is essentially a toe sock that has a little bit of a grippy rubber sole to allow you to really like put force to the ground. I haven't found it to be super comfortable, but obviously, you know, they're always working to find me. Alberto will answer all your questions momentarily, okay? So stick around alive. Give us 2-3 more minutes and we'll pop and answer your questions. Regarding cleats, Jeff will tell us where we could find them on his Kickstarter campaign. Regarding foot exercises, you could pop on my page, but we'll get to you in 1 minute. Just going to ask this last question, then we're going to wrap up because we're getting ready for the camping weekend here. The last question, this is about the Raven, your basketball sneaker. Yeah. I made a post on the Barefoot Shoe Review about comparing a standard, I think you saw it, a standard Nike shoe to a bare feet. Now, I wasn't implying that you should play professional basketball barefoot. As usual, the trolls on Instagram will always find something to troll about. What I was implying in the video, and it was very obvious, I was showing what the foot can do, flex, extend, rotate, big toe can move, wiggle, you know, rotate this way, rotate that way, dorsiflex, my knee can go over my toe. And then I was showing what the Nike shoe is incapable of. I was showing how the Nike shoe actually restricts all these motions. And everyone's like, and I tagged you a lot in the comments when I was speaking about different basketball shoes. Everyone's like, you're crazy. You need this shoe to absorb force, produce force. So what I said is that there's a very, very big difference between a professional basketball player who at the moment would probably wear his Nike or Air Jordans and then spend the rest of the time in ideal world training barefoot or wearing minimalist footwear versus a casual basketball player. Someone who's a casual basketball player can wear the Ravens, can wear, you know, a zero shoe if needed. But a lot of people were speaking about, because there's so much jumps in basketball, that's why a lot of basketball sneakers are very padded. Now, once again, as a performance coach, I don't see any issue with teaching the body how to produce and absorb force barefoot, even on court. Like, obviously, grass and artificial turf are slightly easier, but that's not inherently, that's a high standard for someone to constantly be able to absorb jump after jump on a hard surface like turf or AstroTech, it's called, AstroMech. I'm not sure what the term is in English. But would you say that a basketball shoe does need, obviously zero drop wide toe box, but does it need a little bit more padding for force absorption, or do you just keep it like as minimalist as possible, specifically your Raven?
Well, what's interesting about that with regards to padding is that the more padding that you introduce, the more force actually gets absorbed into your body. And so there was a study that was done that took gymnasts and they had them jump off of a certain height, and then they jumped onto a padded surface, and then they jumped onto just a hard surface, and then they had a force plate underneath to see how much force was generated by those landings. And what was always happening was that the brain learned that it can put more force into that landing on a padded surface. Right. So it's not attenuating the force. It's not absorbing and dissipating it and learning how to land properly. And so it's a deficiency of our movement culture and our coaching that we put into basketball, saying like, oh, this is how you gotta be with your shoe, because it needs to absorb all these forces. Well, why don't you just teach people how to land properly?
Yeah.
That's crazy, huh? Right. And with regards to professional basketball players, like if you look at professional basketball players' feet, all insane, insanely bad.
Yeah,
if you are eating breakfast currently, do not Google a picture of Shaquille O'Neal's foot. But otherwise, go ahead and look and see the horror show that it is, or Joel Embiid's foot, or LeBron James's foot. And all of these guys have collapsed, dysfunctional feet with like crazy hammer toes, crazy bunions, crazy Taylor's bunions. They can't use their feet because of the basketball shoes that they grew up playing in. And you put a child in a good natural development basketball shoe, they're going to have a much better career. They're going to have much better long-term health outcomes. They're probably going to have a longer career because of it. You look at like all these examples of especially NBA big men that are getting taken down because of joint wear and tear, joint injuries, premature wear and tear on all of their joints because they're just like so huge, and they grow up with compromised feet that are unable to take on the brunt of what they're putting above themselves. But if they had grown up with strong feet that were progressing as were gaining strength as they were growing up and were able to actually take on the forces that were like slowly accruing over time, then they would have had a much better health outcome. Shaquille O'Neal spent like 50% of his last 7 years on the bench because of injuries. Shaquille O'Neal is the best center of all time, right? He is amazing. He is incredible. He's the GOAT. But he was a shell of his former self for like the last 7 years because he was always constantly battling joint injuries and joint pains. And what could it have been like to have Shaquille O'Neal just like going out there and Tom Brady in it and dieseling people because he paid attention to his foot health and his joint health and his movement health for the whole entirety of his career? Like, that's what's so great about Tom Brady is that Tom Brady puts in all of this extra work that nobody else puts into terms of like proper movement patterns, keeping the joints healthy, doing all this mobility, making it so that he's bulletproofing his body in all these different ways so that he's like 45 and he's still crushing it. He's better than people that are like in the prime of their career, supposedly, right? He's still the best because he puts in all of that work and he's not getting injured. Okay, that is so important, is that you put in that extra work, you put in that good base of stability in all of your joints, him specifically with his upper body in terms of like his throwing motion, and you have all these great outcomes. And if you did that with athletes, especially basketball athletes, they would have a much longer career. You're on mute. Sean, you're on mute, bud.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm muting it. so you don't hear like a wind whistling in the background. By the way, quick, let's see if I can swap the camera around. So here's my view. So we got the Sea of Galilee right here.
Oh, that's
huge,
great.
Nice. Yeah, and then this is where we're camping for the weekend. So like, of course, what are shoes, right? Who needs shoes in life? That's where I am right now.
Yep.
And just, you know, hiking out here while doing this live. Anyways, back to it. So wrapping it up from a performance coach's point of view, sorry, I keep going on mute, is coaches out there until now, I believe, even the open-minded ones like me, they would teach force production and force absorption and jumping and landing barefoot, but then they would also teach it in shoes simply because shoes were a necessity for the sport. So like, even though majority of our training would be barefoot, at the end of the day, if they're going to play in certain shoes, those are going to be sports specific to the sports. We want to teach them how to stabilize, even if they're a certain type of shoe. Now that this game-changing shoe is coming to the table, we no longer need to compromise their feet. We can, you know, still mobilize and warm up barefoot. I can, in full confidence as a coach, know that I'm putting shoes and cleats or shoes on my kid or my adult, right? You're developing adult models as well, without damaging them. So super stoked about that. I'm going to answer Alberto's questions, who asked in the comments. If he's still around, hope you're still here. Alberto, you can shoot us a wave if you're still around. Regarding foot health and foot exercises, so I have many resources that on the Barefoot Shoe Review. You can look it up on Instagram. It's my other account. I do a once-a-week barefoot education series, and you can just stalk my page, The Barefoot Athlete, or my YouTube channel, The Cold Feet Podcast, to find tons of resources on barefoot. If you're looking for a barefoot transition course or a barefoot program for, you know, mobility program for runners and hikers or athletes, I have those as well. You can find them in bio. His question to you, Jeff, was where can we find your Kickstarter campaign to pre-order cleats and when will they actually be available?
So I'm going to be posting the Kickstarter campaign link once it's fully approved by Kickstarter. So it's going through the motions of being approved by Kickstarter right now. And then once I have that fully approved by Kickstarter, which should be hopefully by Monday, then I'll be able to post the link so that people can see the preview of the site. that will be the Kickstarter campaign and see the reward levels for the Kickstarter campaign. So what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be doing pre-orders on Kickstarter. It's going to be 25% off the first 100 purchases of each type of shoe. So there's going to be the children's Iron Lion cleat, 100 purchasers, 25% off. There's going to be the adult Iron Lion cleat, 100 purchasers, 25% off. There's going to be the children's Raven basketball sneaker, 100 purchasers, 25% off. And then after that, it's going to be regular price. And so the intent of this Kickstarter campaign is to pay for the factory mold funds. Mm-hmm. I have been 100% self-funding this whole entire venture, aside from a little infusion of money that I got for winning the Babson College Entrepreneurial Thought and Engineering or Entrepreneurial Thought and Action Competitions Sony Innovation and Fashion Award. And so we got $10,000 from that, and then $2,500 from also becoming a finalist for the for what's called the Beta Challenge. Mm-hmm. And that was like lifeblood. That was like mana to our company, so that we were able to pay for our sampling. But we have been like entirely sole source self-funded right here, this guy. And I'm really excited to be able to pay for the molds for the factory and get these out into the real world and get them on the parents that need them and want them so desperately, because they're raising their kids in minimalist shoes and they want to be able to not have their favorite sports of their children undo the investment that they have put into them. And then also for adults, you know, all of us that have transitioned to minimalist shoes, we also want the best for ourselves. And so I'm going to do that. But you got to take care of the kids first. Kids are our future. And I'm super selfish about this. I want my kids to be able to have them too, right?
Kids are our future. And the way I look at it is that it's not too late for us, but we messed up. You know, I spent a good 20 years in regular shoes and combat boots. And I just got a nice thorn in my foot. Ooh, these are good ones. These little bad boys right here, they go into your foot.
Oh, boy.
Those are fun. We spent, you know, years in combat boots and boots. Nothing's going to happen if we don't have minimalist cleats in the next, you know, few months. Whereas our kids, like, we didn't damage their fees yet. Let's keep it that way. Alberto asks, exactly. Is there any limit on the amount of pairs I can buy?
No, not right now.
Alberto, buy 100 and just fund it straight out. Just buy, except buy 99, so save one for me.
Buy all of them, Alberto. Outfit a whole entire team. Change the culture. Change the world. It's going
to
be great.
That's what I'm looking to do, honestly. A lot of my athletes are already, like, I honestly, there's no cleat at the moment, but I would say half my team already is, first of all our training sessions in the gym, on the field, are barefoot, all warming up, training, sleds, whatever it is. And then mm-hmm. how good of them are wearing minimalist footwear, you know, when they're not in the field. So that's a huge step, especially for some of these girls and guys who have been wearing cleats for 20 plus years, right? That's 20 plus years of, and they have bunions, duh. Like, you know, they're going to podiatrists and doctors are saying chop off their feet, and it's just not a fun place to be in. I have to run, but you can enjoy the view while you're at it. Any final thoughts or final wisdom out there? Once your Kickstarter link is up, I'll drop it in my bio as well so people can reference it. Let me know if you have any final thoughts or final wisdom to share with our lovely audience. And thank you so much, audience, for tuning in.
Yeah, just thank you so much for allowing me to be here to speak to everybody about the great benefits that are going to come to the minimalist market. We're going to finally change the way that we teach athletics in America and around the world. We're going to make it so that kids are taught to be strong in their feet and not be dependent and weak in their feet. And we're going to make it so that we hopefully get and reduce all these horrible non-contact injuries that are extremely preventable. And the way that we do it is we give children the movement that they need in their shoes, and then we give them good, proper coaching as well. That's important. You need the movement in the shoes and the facilitation of the tool, but then you also need the proper training too. If you don't have that training, it's all useless.
Correct. It could be, like, first of all, two more questions that are rising up and I really have to run. Are you making an adult Raven model basketball shoe? Or that's in the future?
That's future. So I'm just going to focus on the kids right now.
Cool. And the second thing is that this is like somewhere down the line, but because your shoe is such a unique, it's not just another, you know, sports footwear. It's actually something, it's a game changer. It's game changing. Somewhere down the line, like when you sell your shoes, let's say you were to sell your shoes to a sports team, it could like come with coaching. You know what I mean? Like, here's how to strengthen your foot. Here's how to mobilize your ankle. And the coach, it's just like a fun idea. The coach who's involved with the team who's all switching to minimalist cleats could like, we give them like training as to how to, you know, strengthen the feet properly and how to train properly. Just be like, you understand what I mean? Like an educational product in addition to the physical product itself.
Yeah.
Game changing.
Yeah. I 100% agree. There needs to be a training package that we can give to youth coaches so that youth coaches immediately take this tool and utilize it to its fullest benefit for the children that they are training. And or for the adult athletes that they're training on the weekend, right? And so that is extremely important, and that's the way that you change the culture, is that you introduce the tool and then change the way that it's taught as well. Because we're kind of like teaching people, we're loading like a computer virus into their brain.
Right.
Like when you're mapping out how you're doing your movement, people are getting like movementwithshoes.exe loaded into their brain, which is deficient because it has like all these things that come with like padding and everything like that, and they don't know how to use their feet, and that computer virus needs to be deleted and reloaded with movement with without shoes.exe, right? And then they can learn how to properly move.
That's exactly why we're starting with the kids. Like, it would be hard to retrain 20-year-olds how to, you know, do it from scratch, whereas kids, like, they didn't learn. They're an empty pot. They're an empty gallery. You just got to paint them the way you want.
Yeah.
That's it for now. So thanks so much for coming on the podcast / IG Live. For those who didn't make the whole thing, I'll be putting this up on the Cold Feet podcast. Okay, it can be found on Spotify, YouTube, you name it, Amazon Audio, Google Audio, whatever they're called, Apple Podcasts. Just look up the Cold Feet podcast. You'll be able to find this. I'll save it as an IG Live here on the Barefoot Athlete. It should show up. I could send it to you so you'll have the thing as well. You should be able to post it on your wall, on your grid. I'll put on the Barefoot Cheer View so we'll just have it accessible. And if you have any questions about the cleat itself, Jeff is your man. He's pretty, you know, pretty readily available on his page, Natural Athletics. And if you have any questions for me, always welcome. Have a loving weekend. Enjoy the time. And yeah, thanks again for coming on. I'm looking forward to trying the cleat.
Awesome. Thank you.
Excited. Have a good one. Peace out.
Bye.
Peace.
Hey, I'm Sean, and I'm the Barefoot Athlete, and I want to welcome you on this 6-week Barefoot Transition course. 2.5 years ago, we started developing this course, and we wanted it to be 12 months long. Why 12 months? Because we felt that if you just spent dozens of years in cushioned shoes, you can't transition that quickly. Realizing that 12 months is not sustainable, we shortened it to 6 weeks, and in these 6 weeks, you're going to dive into foot, knee, ankle, hip, shoulder mobility. You're going to dive into calf, ankle, knee, hip strengthening. You're going to learn how to take care of your feet, how to release them with tons of soft tissue work. After the first phase is over, after the 3 weeks are done, your pain is gone, your knees, your hips, your feet are feeling great, ready to rumble, move on to the advanced stage. We learn how to land, we learn how to jump, we learn how to produce force and absorb force. Every single week is action-packed with play, fun, challenges to challenge yourself, your friends, your loved ones, and your community. Tons of strengthening, tons of footwork, and we can guarantee you that in 6 weeks' time, you will be much, much closer to being able to fully love life and live life in minimalist footwear. And the best part of it all, you're not limited to 6 weeks. So if you want to go back and repeat a phase, you're more than welcome to. So let's go, come along, and enjoy the course.